Hey everybody, Jeremy Redman here, CEO and founder of Air5. I am so sorry that it's been, I think, 3 or 4 weeks since the last episode. This will never happen again. This is terrible to me. I've just been so busy building some stuff at Air5, making a new hire, and kind of enjoying the ride. Being an entrepreneur is hard, right? So I'm glad. Thanks, guys, for staying subscribed, for liking, for giving me some emails. I love the feedback. Catch up 1 through 4. This is amazing. This is episode 5, and we have an amazing guest, Natalie Gregory. We kind of break down on how both of us have started our podcast, what it kind of takes, the different approaches that we had. Very informational, and I want you guys to listen, pay attention. Really good insights. This is episode 5 of Not Boring Business. Let's go. Okay, let's hit it off here.
Okay, let's do it.
Okay, welcome, Natalie.
Thanks, Jeremy. I'm happy to be here.
This is so cool to have you on.
I'm excited.
I like how we turn it on.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
We really do.
It's from bullshit
to hey.
Hey.
We're live.
Thanks for coming on your podcast.
Yes.
Okay, so we're doing this thing about how there's multiple ways to get started with a podcast.
Sure, absolutely.
The way I did it with makeshift audio flex reflection curves, and then the way you did it with the Nerdist.
Yes.
I want you to explain what your podcast is and
yeah, so I started a podcast. Well, I should say that I'm kind of I've been a big podcast nerd for a while because driving in LA, it definitely, you will encounter traffic.
Absolutely.
It's inevitable. And so it's very helpful to listen to podcasts. But so I've always been a huge fan. But basically, my podcast is called Tip Your Server, and it's me interviewing comedians and actors and performers about working in the restaurant industry here in LA. But also, most people have had we kind of go through their sort of personal history in restaurants, and we sort of cover like where they're from. And anyway, as I'm sure you can imagine, many people have a lot of stories.
I always think about this one. Time when I was at the Magic Castle,
Which I still haven't been to. I'm jealous that you've been.
You gotta go.
I gotta go. You need to know someone. Literally.
Well, I didn't know that because I've only been invited.
Well, so, lucky you.
Lucky me. And we were there one time, and there was a friend of mine who's an actress was like, "Oh yeah, hey," there was a magician doing a little act or whatever, and he was like, "Oh, what do you do for a living?" And she goes, "Oh, I'm an actress," and he replied back with, "Oh, so where do you wait tables?"
Yeah.
I go,
it's pretty quick.
Like,
that's funny.
I laughed my ass off.
She didn't think it was that funny.
And I go, well, but she's like a...
She's an actual working actress. So that would probably...
I go, holy fuck. Like, that's like... But that is like the reality. And I love that dynamic of your podcast.
Yeah. Right? Well, you know, it's been a lot of fun. Because people do get, you know, a chance to sort of tell some stories and just get... We also just sort of talk about the restaurant industry and and what that sort of entails. And but yeah, people do have really funny stories. But also something that, you know, we talk about is how everybody here is really working towards some bigger goal.
Sure.
And so, you know, you take these jobs to sort of supplement and, you know, stay afloat and do all the creative things you want to do. But we talk about how that it's such a, you know, it messes with your mind because you're so you can see other people around you, you know, like who are at a level of success that you're trying to be, but to still have to be, you know, waiting tables or working in a restaurant.
Is that demotivating sometimes? Or
I wouldn't say demotivating.
Does it inspire you?
I think it's inspiring and also sometimes a little disheartening.
Yeah.
But, you know, if you work at a great place where, and people who've come on my podcast have talked about finding a place that really felt like a family, and I think that very much helps. You know, working at a restaurant that is run horribly and the owner's a big a-hole is not. It's I think, depressing. But yeah, so we have a good time, but we definitely talk about how that, you know, and people always say that they're grateful to have restaurant jobs because it allows them all the flexibility to do the acting, the writing, whatever it is.
So I've heard one time, someone asked, it's because this is LA, obviously, so it's the weirdest fucking place
in the world. Very, we can swear?
Yeah.
Okay, great.
Right.
I was really trying to be. I was trying to be.
No, you
PG.
Know me. I'm a potty mouth.
Okay. Okay. Great.
Speaking of potty mouth, I didn't know about that guy, that Dave. Like, I didn't know if I could swear on his podcast.
Oh,
so
yeah.
So that kind of took, like, a little wind out of my sails.
Yeah. Well, to not swear is
to not
an exercise.
Swear is to hold back. Like, I use fuck as a comma.
Oh, yeah.
Do you know what I mean?
Fucking.
Fucking. Yeah. No. Fucking.
Fucking.
Fucking. That fuck.
Well, it keeps you on your, it keeps you on your toes.
Yeah, sure.
You're not less relaxed.
It gives
I
me
think.
A little gap, like stop gap to like, mm-hmm. I don't know, think.
A little buffer.
Right? Yeah. But anyway.
Yeah.
Like I've heard of like actors and actresses that mm-hmm. actually go and try to get jobs at like a restaurant
mm-hmm.
have to have like their headshots.
That very
Is
much.
That a thing?
Yeah. You'll see on Craigslist, like, please send headshot. Some places will say don't send headshot. And I kind of love them.
Okay.
But yeah, it's a little strange. I mean, clearly they're looking for some places you walk into and you're like, oh, is everybody here a model?
Yeah, sure.
And it's deliberate, you know, and like, fine, that's one way to run a restaurant. But yeah, that's a real thing.
Hmm.
Mm-hmm.
Like, what's the end goal there?
I think like what I just said, like
just tips.
No, just some places. I mean, I don't know, but for sure. But I mean.
Their side
producers.
No,
it's deliberate. Well, like they want
a
certain restaurants. LA is very, in terms of restaurant, it's very much about the ambiance and the scene.
Mm.
It's a little less focused on the food. I think that's changing, but that's something that's a little frustrating to me as someone who comes from San Francisco, where it's very much about the food. And if your food is not on point, forget it.
Yeah, I forgot you're from SF.
Yeah, so.
Palo Alto?
Yeah, Menlo Park. So
Menlo Park.
Yeah, where
cool.
Facebook is now.
Yeah, right.
It's changed quite a bit since I grew up. But
yeah.
I lived in San Francisco for years after college. And yeah, I just, they're changing in LA and the food scene's getting really great. But they're still, I would imagine like the headshot thing to that point is about, creating an ambiance and an atmosphere of like, good looking people. Yeah,
absolutely. Good looking people. Mm-hmm. Dining with other good-looking people.
Yeah, sure. But it's like, it's LA. Pretty much like everybody who, my friend had this joke about Brad Pitt. She said, was Brad Pitt just like, I think I'm the hottest guy in Missouri. I should go to LA.
Right.
And that's what LA is, full of
sure.
people like that. And also other
it's full
really
of
interesting
small
people.
Town, like the people that were the greatest in their town.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Right? Like,
uh-huh. Coming conversion.
Yeah.
On Moving Los Angeles. Country.
Right.
And
Suitcase
you know,
and a dream.
Exactly, and it works for some, but I mean, there's just too many in it. But that's changing too. You know, people are creating their own opportunities, and I mean, like I did with the podcast.
Absolutely.
It's like you turn, the struggle into something, and that's I've never been more like creatively satisfied. Than
okay,
doing
so
a
tell
podcast.
Me about like I wanna unpack that satisfaction
sure.
a little bit.
Yeah.
So I decided to go the po' boy route.
Mm-hmm.
With my stuff, homemade.
Very DIY, which
very
I appreciate.
Very DIY.
Yes.
Like, that's one of the biggest things is mm-hmm. to just do it and not make excuses because
there's
a shit ton of people.
Mm-hmm. Everyone's go, got an idea.
Right.
No one follows through with it.
Correct. And mm-hmm. I love that you did it, but you did it in a completely different way than I did it.
Mm-hmm.
So, like, walk me through that process and who you're partnered with. And
sure. So, I came up with the idea on my way to work one day and I was listening to a podcast and I was like, I don't know, it really just weirdly hit me. And then, I was like, okay, this is something I think I could do just because now you hear about how creating a podcast is very easy, what with GarageBand and everything else. But I reached, well, it is like, like most things, like it's easier than it's ever been. So
like, did you bring up GarageBand because I'm using GarageBand?
Plug for GarageBand.
GarageBand.
No, So I was like, okay, I really want to make this happen. I don't want it to be another idea that dies. So I got on Facebook and I knew this comedian acquaintance that I have. I knew she started a podcast, a very cool sounding podcast, a feminist podcast about movies. And I just asked her, hey, can you tell me about the equipment that you use? How did you get that started? And she was amazing. She wrote back and said, well, I record at the Nerdist School, which for those of you who don't know, it's basically what's become a comedy school like UCB or Groundlings. But it started as just like Chris Hardwick started that podcast. Anyway, so it's become the sort of a comedy, center.
For our listeners outside of Los Angeles,
yes.
What exactly is a comedy school?
Well, it's where people can pay a good amount of money. And I don't
improv.
Know. Improv classes, yep. Sketch classes. Now they've started to have stand-up classes.
Okay.
And it's a really great way to kind of become a part of a community. And coming to LA is really tough, especially if you don't know anyone. So it's sort of like a built-in
integration.
Yeah, exactly. Cool, yeah. So the Nerdist has become one of those places. And anyway, she wrote back telling me that she, in fact, recorded hers at the Nerdist and that they rent out a studio, a recording studio for podcasts, you know, and you pay an hourly fee. It's cheaper if you go to the school, but and you can have an engineer. You don't have to have an engineer. And I was like, oh my God, I can just go. She sent me the link to their website.
Turnkey.
Yeah. And so I went to the website. I booked an hour. You can do an hour to, I think, 2 hours. And then I know so many people who worked in the restaurant industry who, you know, because I've worked for years and years here in LA, and I knew I would have no shortage of guests. So I texted my friend. I said, will you be on this podcast that I'm starting? She said, absolutely. And it was sort of been off to the races since then. And then a friend of mine, I am, when it comes to this stuff with the recording and the technical stuff, I am not very good. So I was a little intimidated by that. But, you know, also thankfully for being in LA for so long, I have another friend who's produced a bunch of things. Like, she was trying to do a podcast and a web series thing. And she gave me the number, an email of a sound editor guy. And I said, it would just be four, because I'm releasing it weekly, so four episodes, you know, a month to edit. And I, you know, gave him a price. And he was like, absolutely. And so, yeah, so basically we recorded the Nerdist School, and it's really nice because it's like a professional studio, and it's nice to have a location to come to.
I'm like, trying not to take any of these as digs.
They're not.
You know?
This is like, it's legit. This is your office.
Yeah, sure. Right.
So it's kind of nice to have a sort of the Nerdist brand like behind it. And then, we record with my engineer, who's mainly been Trevor. Shout out to Trevor. And he sends me the file. And then I listen to the episode. I go through the edits. Usually there's not many because it's just a conversation. And then I send it off to my editor. And he is so good. He gets it done in like it feels like 5 minutes. And he's done it. And that's so hard in LA to get people. I mean, I'm paying him, but at a really good price. And it's sometimes when, like, people in LA, they just take forever to get the job done.
Sure.
With things like this, but he's been remarkable. So it ended up being so simple, really, in its execution, because there are these resources out there.
So, like, all in, mm-hmm. like, What are the costs? What are, like, there are the ongoing costs? Like, you have some costs at the beginning?
Yeah. I mean, it's definitely something that...
Because doing that way, I feel like, would cost more.
It does cost more.
As you go, rather than, like, me buying my own microphone.
I'm getting to the point where I do feel like I need to start just actually investing in mics and setting it up. However, I just love that studio that we go to.
Absolutely.
And it's $30 an hour. $20 if I went to the school, but I'm not going to pay more money to take an improv class. But $30 each session, and then I pay my sound guy $150 for four episodes, which is like
$150 a month.
Basically, yeah.
Okay.
And then on top of recording fees. So it does add
up. What about the editor?
For four episodes a month, he's $150.
Oh, he's the $150.
Yeah.
Okay, got you.
And then
$30 engineer comes with the space.
Yeah.
Okay.
So it is a higher cost, but for me to not have to worry about editing or engineering, and I can just zone in on the interview, it's great. It is not a long-term solution. I would love to get to a point where, I mean, Mark Maron, who's one of my idols, he has a podcast, WTF, and he records out of his garage. I would love to one day maybe get a garage and do the same thing.
I would love to soundproof my office here in Air 5 HQ.
Yeah, and I would, you know what I mean? I would love to use your facility.
Right. Like, we should just take this foam and glue it on the walls.
Yeah, you can. You could do that.
Right?
It is sort of a short... I wanted to get it off the ground. I know.
Fucking
loud. Sunset Boulevard. I wanted to just get it, like, you know, hit the ground running with it. Yeah. And I didn't have at the time a bunch of money to buy mics. And,
yeah,
you know, so I kind of just started doing it. And now I've been doing it for a few months. And I am getting to a point of like, okay, what's the long-term goal now?
But come on. The biggest thing that I'm so proud of and the reason why I wanted you on here is that there are just two schools of thought when you fucking decide that you want to do something. And that is, I'm either going to allocate these funds,
right,
$150 or $130 bucks plus $30, and you figure out a way to do it, and then you deploy that, and you figure it out,
yeah,
and you go do
it. Budget it,
And then there's my way where it's like, oh, I'm going to do this. Like, I feel like I'm going to do this a long time, and I'm going to make myself this fucking board, soundboard, and like.
I mean, I'm so impressed by what you've done. You really just did it yourself. You are the definition of DIY. I think part of it is my personality, but I like divvying out responsibility to other people.
You're a delegator.
I am a delegator, and I think I've found through the years that I delegate pretty well when I'm invested.
Oh.
So.
And now is that just like, I mean, can you be invested just sweat equity, or is it like invested where you're like, I can see the currency coming out of my bank account?
No, like.
Like mentally invested?
Yeah, just I'm interested in the project and I will see it through because I'm engaged.
Okay.
Versus, you know, I mean, things that are just, I don't know. I mean, so many things, it's hard to produce a project that you're, especially when, because film and TV and like web series, those are expensive things.
Sure.
And even with something like this, like, you got to really want it and be behind that idea. Otherwise, you're never going to do it. I mean, I don't know how many ideas I have for scripts and web series and everything. This has been, like, the first time in a really long time where I was like, this is a good idea, and I believe in it. And all that, like, the blood, sweat, and tears of being in restaurants has, like, brought me to this place to tell these stories. And, you know, because of that, I'm making things happen. Is if you're only half in, then you're never going to get it done or see it through.
Absolutely. Mm-hmm. Now tell me that you actually executed on it and you actually did it.
Mm-hmm.
Tell me the satisfaction level or how that felt.
Oh, right, like actually like doing Cloud Nine, it. Yeah. Right? Just so satisfying. And like that also, it was just all mine and my idea. And yeah, it's the most satisfied I've felt in a really long time. Everything okay?
The most satisfying.
Yeah.
Like
I'm sure with Air 5 stuff. You've just been like, yes, this is it. This is what I've meant to be doing.
Trust me, I get that. I wish other people would do that. Like, sometimes I feel so overwhelmed with everything that I'm going on right now.
Right.
Like, editing this thing by myself, because I don't have an engineer, or making these things. I spent a weekend, like, thinking, what the fuck? Following some YouTube guy on how to do this.
Yeah, well, you're...
How to set this up. You are helping me. What time... It's right now Pacific Standard Time, 6:55, right? Yeah. We just started this 10 minutes ago.
Yeah.
And you got here at 5 o'clock.
Yeah.
Because I didn't know how to do two mics.
No, but it was actually really great. I kind of wanted to, we both learned. We learned today.
No, that's what I'm saying. So, like, as you go, I think now it feels even better. Like, the payoff feels like shit.
Oh, yeah. Oh, definitely. Because you know what I mean? Like, I figured this the fuck out, and I did it all myself.
I hear these damn levels. I see these audio waves on here, and I'm proud of this.
I tried to edit a thing in GarageBand, and I got so unbelievably frustrated. I was like, forget it. I'm just hiring someone.
Right? You want to know how bad it is for me? I don't know how to do GarageBand. I've edited my last four episodes in iMovie.
Yeah.
It's fucking audio.
But iMovie, I feel like I did like a video thing for my friend's 30th birthday, and iMovie is, I feel, way more manageable than, like, audio editing is, I'm happy to pay my guy, and he's so good, and I don't have to worry about me putting something on iTunes, and it's wrong or whatever, you know, I mean, that would be mortifying, so, I've just discovered I will pay to not be frustrated. So,
and like, I'm still trying to, like, find a guy to make some intro music for me.
Mm-hmm. Well, you know what, I mean? What you can do is you don't even need to do that. You can just go get royalty-free music, which is what I did for my intro.
Oh, I want to make it all custom.
Oh, you do?
You know that intro song?
See, again, patience-wise, I just don't have patience. You have patience. And that's why you're starting a business, and I just started a podcast.
At least I come across being
patient.
Into
business. You do.
Inside my head, I'm all.
But I think that's why you make for a good CEO and leader.
All the time.
Yeah. secretly.
Thank you. I do appreciate the compliment.
It's true.
Tell me this. Okay. Mm-hmm. So the payoff, it feels good.
It's incredible.
You're walking what you're talking, mm-hmm. right? Now, you have to put in how many hours a week or a month would you say that you put in personally to like writing show notes? I suspect yeah. you write the show notes, right?
Yeah, I do.
So like how many hours, man hours, do you put in one, for a know, once a week show?
It's not a lot because it's so easy to produce.
Sure.
I mean, it's probably just about maybe 5 hours a week, honestly. No, that's not true because I'm listening to the episode sometimes like two times over to make sure.
That's what, yeah, right. So all in, what do you put in a week?
It's probably for one episode? Like maybe more like 15.
15 hours.
But no, but here's the thing, and this is what, okay, so I've gotten it off the ground. I've gotten into a rhythm of producing it.
Sure.
But I need to be marketing more. And that's now
it's all
what
about
I'm,
distribution.
Yeah, and that's now what my, okay, now I've got almost 10 episodes up. It's got a rhythm. It's got momentum, but now it's the next phase of like, okay, get it out there. And I look at the stats and they're good, but the end goal is monetize this thing.
I will say this to you.
Mm-hmm.
I wanted to, when I started my show, I didn't want to have guests necessarily.
Mm-hmm.
You inspired me to have guests on my show,
mm-hmm.
to have a conversation.
Yeah.
Right. Cause weirdly, I wanted it to be all about me.
Right, how but, LA of you.
But, yeah, right? I fit in. I only try.
Don't we all?
Yeah. So, but I thought, I can arbitrage their audience, mm-hmm. right? So, like,
exactly.
every guest you have on
yeah.
will actually share it to them, and that's just one strategy, like one channel.
It's a marketing strategy,
right?
Yeah.
One channel in your distribution.
Exactly, and that's why I was like,
absolutely.
Comedians and actors are always like, you know, they're starved for creativity. And also just I think it's been really eye-opening, like, just to have people be able to just tell a little about, like, their personal story is so – means so much in this town where it's just, like, rejection every day. Like,
yeah,
you, just the grind of this place, you know, the competition. So – and, yeah, so people have been promoting it, and that's amazing. And, you know – but yeah, it's time I do sort of like I'm looking towards the next step and I'm looking into like digital marketing strategy right now. And
have you been active on social or what?
Yeah,
what's been
yes,
like the
but
main channel?
Here's the thing. I'm not, you know, basically I need
you're not
like
a social media guru.
No, I mean, I'm on Instagram and Facebook, but it's like I need to be more active. I have a Twitter account for it. I need to be more active on Twitter. But it's like how this is the reason why. Huge companies and small companies now have someone who is a designated social media person because
right.
it does require a lot of time and attention and there's a strategy. And so yeah. again, this is something I'm probably going to outsource.
Yeah.
So I've been looking into that honestly, like on Fiverr because they
oh,
have
really?
That option. Yeah. And you can find really good, I mean, I've been researching and I think I'm going with this one. They're kind of, they seem like a company and they have a really good deal and I gave them some sample posts and they said, you know, yeah, this is what you need to be doing. And like, we can do that. And here's like what the plan would be. Let us know. And I think, yeah, I'm probably going to go home tonight and book it.
Okay. So tell me this,
mm-hmm.
right? You've tried. I'm going to paint this scenario. I'm going to paint this.
Paint it for
mosaic
me.
For you. Mm-hmm. You ready for this? 6 months from now.
Yeah.
You got an episode a week.
Yeah.
What is your ideal distribution? What's mm-hmm. your ideal downloads, your ideal listens, right? Mm-hmm. Something that's like, yeah, this is getting good feedback. Like to start, I would say if you could get 50 to 100 people per episode to start.
Oh, I already really have. Well. I have more than that, which is great.
Like how many per episodes do you get?
It just really depends on the guest. But the most that I got was like 600 for one episode, which
wow.
is great. And
damn.
Then so they go up or down sort of from there. Or no, that was the highest. And then, yeah, I think that was the highest. I got to recheck my stats. But
and what do you attribute that to? Like you said, it depends
guess,
on the guest.
Partially,
yeah.
And at what kind of social media presence they have. And, you know, it. And I do think that there's a time of day of posting. You know, motorcycles everywhere. That's what I'm saying. I'm noticing that like certain times a day when I will post about it, sometimes it's hot, sometimes it's not. So I would prefer to have just like, yeah, a professional social media person just like for a month, just put in a month's time of like getting it out there because that is how you get a podcast audience. I know, it's all falling apart out there.
So you would think about fucking 7 o'clock.
It's calmed down.
Is when
traffic,
people are
though.
Lighting their apartments on fire, yeah. On Sunset Boulevard. As many sirens, fucking sirens, as you
all
hear.
Day.
God damn
all
it.
Day. I hear them in the middle of the night. But yeah, I mean, 6 months from now, I want it to be, you know, I mean, I want it to, I'm like dreaming big.
Give me your ideal.
I want it to be, yeah, like exactly like you said, like top 200 and.
Sure.
And.
Now here's what I
hear. Tens of thousands, hundreds of thousands. I mean, I think that's going to take longer than 6 months, but.
Sure.
You know, people who I don't know have left a few reviews, and all the reviews have been really great.
Absolutely.
And everyone's been so complimentary about it. And so I'm just trying to ride that.
I got an email. Mm-hmm. I got an email from a listener that I screenshotted it. I'm trying to.
That's
talk
so
while
great.
Hold on. Here it is. Ready? I just read a quote in The Compound Effect by Darren Hardy that snagged my attention and for some reason made me think of you. Whatever you vividly imagine, ardently desire, sincerely believe, and enthusiastically act upon must inevitably come to pass. I just wanted to point out that I see you doing this, and it's pretty awesome.
Wow, that's so great. And I love that quote.
Yeah.
It makes me feel like validated in everything I'm doing.
Sure, right?
Yeah.
If you speak something into an existence, I completely believe, like into the universe, I believe that it will come to fruition.
That's I'm feeling that. Yeah, I feel like I have something. It's just like, okay, now let's really get it out there. And it's funny because I don't get I haven't gotten emails, even though I have an email for the podcast, but I've gotten Facebook messages. From people this takes me back to when I waited tables like in college or whatever, and like really loving it, you know?
Yeah.
Because mine's more of a, you know, comedy podcast anyway.
And I don't say that to be like, I get emails and you
get
messages.
I know, of course not.
And,
no, that's such
no,
a wonderful
I mean, like,
email
well, how,
to receive.
How much, because I know you've gotten some of the feedback and you mentioned reviews,
mm-hmm.
that when I get like, so I've been averaging anywhere from like a few hundred downloads
mm-hmm.
an episode.
Mm-hmm.
Like, and I have like four.
Mm-hmm.
Right.
Yeah.
So like how important is early feedback? Right? When you're
right.
like it's a very vulnerable position to be in.
Yeah, because
and when
you
get
put
something
it out
like
there.
That, it's like if I can get 50 downloads, but I make 50 differences in 50 people's lives.
Oh yeah. It's huge. I mean, that it speaks to people at all is like that's such a gift, you know,
right.
but also for people to be like I'm entertained, I'm interested, I'm engaged, like that makes me feel okay, like that gives me confidence, like, okay, I'm onto something and I'm going to keep doing it as long as I can. And like that quote says, just like enthusiastically be about it, you know?
Right.
And so that's such an amazing email.
I know, right?
Like, who is that person?
I don't know if I can say her
no,
name.
No, don't. No. But that's very cool.
Yeah, it is really nice.
Mm-hmm.
Like the title of the email was Thinking of You.
Mm-hmm.
Positivity.
That's so... It's so important because
so important.
You can get and there. Trust me, there was times in my life when I've gotten so down and like the negativity is just it just makes you spiral and then you don't get anything done because you're like, what's the point?
Yeah,
and it puts you. It's just no. That's why it's important to find something you're into.
You're passionate about.
Yeah, absolutely.
And then like deploy every single amount of energy toward it.
Exactly.
Now tell me this: we fast forward 6 months.
Mm-hmm.
Right, you get only a fraction of what you think you can get, right?
Mm-hmm.
So like it doesn't measure up to your expectations, what you think your ideal is right now.
Mm-hmm.
When do you give up on your podcast?
I'm not giving up for a long I mean I am seeing this thing through. I mean, this has given me ideas for so many other projects that I want to kind of couple with the podcast.
Oh.
Like live show, web series. Like I've been writing now. And I haven't been inspired to write in a long time. So
because of the podcast.
Yeah.
Okay.
I mean, it's been so inspiring. And I find myself like I really hit a creative nerve in me that is like unleashing just projects in my head. So I'm trying to put those down to paper and you know, and people have been so nice. They say they like my voice and that makes me feel so good because really that's it. If your voice is terrible, get out.
I heard...
Mm-hmm.
That you had a nice voice from someone.
Really?
Yeah.
Oh, it's so nice to hear. I can't stop hearing it, you know?
So, like, it was something about, like, oh, she has a very calming voice.
Mm-hmm.
Or a very, because I mentioned to someone that you were coming on the podcast.
Right. Oh, great.
And then.
They, and then.
If so facto.
Yes. Oh, that makes, that's great.
Oh, yeah, man, she's going to be great. Did you hear her on the last Tip Your Server podcast?
Oh, my God. Who did you talk to?
I don't know if I can say names on
here. Oh, sure, yeah. Don't. You know what I mean? I know. We say names all the time on my podcast.
Oh, okay. Like,
Know. We talk about, like, celebrities, you know.
Sometimes I just think,
you know?
Fuck it. And yeah. Then sometimes I think, like, oh, if that... I mean, maybe we can say first names.
Yeah. You can say first name.
Ashley is her first name.
Oh. Okay.
So.
Oh, Ashley. Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, anyway, it's that has been so, you know, very, very wonderful to... I can't stop hearing it because, you know... I mean, at the end of the day, if you don't have a voice, if people don't like your voice, they are not going to listen.
I had a lady tell me one time at Benihana.
Oh, yeah. I've been Benihana. In years.
She goes, excuse me, but don't think this is weird, but you have a very
great way to start
unique
sentence.
Voice. And it reminded of her brother who had just passed away or something.
Oh,
and I'm like,
that's
and I'm like,
sweet.
Oh man, that's really great. I fucking hate the way my voice sounds.
No, I like it. You got a great voice. Like, it is unique. I think that's part of it's part of your charisma and personality.
I'm the charmin of the board.
Yeah, you got a great voice. Great podcast voice.
I thank you for that. Okay. So anything else that you want to talk about?
No, just guys, if you want to hear a little some funny stories about the restaurant industry in LA and beyond, because a lot of people worked elsewhere too.
Absolutely.
And they're really funny. And
have you just had on LA guests or?
Yeah, yes, but you know, this is a transplant city, so a lot of people are from, you know, people have been from Iowa and you know, New Jersey, and some people have lived in New York before. So like, I just recorded one last week with this great girl who's a coworker of my friend's. And we did a lot of, like, the difference between New York and L.A. restaurants, kind of, which was really interesting to hear her thoughts. But, yeah, people are from all over. So we do kind of cover, because a lot of these people started when they were teenagers, you know. And one of my coworkers I interviewed, she started at, she in college worked at the Olive Garden.
Oh, the
and
OG.
I ended up, yeah, the and OG. I ended up finding out that the Olive, she said it was the best place to train as a server. Like, they train you how to wait tables really well.
Have you heard anything? Can you please have someone that worked at the Cheesecake Factory?
I need someone. Yeah, I just spoke so loud, but
because they're not allowed to use notepads.
I've heard horror stories from them.
Horror stories.
Horror. If anyone knows a comedian or actor who's worked there,
I'm sure
please.
It's 90% of the staff.
Oh my God, it's I should. You're right, but one of my guests worked in Applebee's, so she told me about that.
Oh, that's horrible.
But yeah, it didn't sound very fun. Yeah. And then,
where are there Applebee's around here?
You know where they are? They're not huge in California, but
Like
on the, I feel like they're in the Central Valley, like off the freeways and stuff. Like in, well, just, you know, because driving up to San Francisco as many times I have, like, there's all that stuff kind of.
Yeah, right.
Except there's not enough Chili's, but anyway.
My go-to
is Chili's because I grew up on that. But
you grew up on Chili's?
Chili's was like the place in middle school to go to in Menlo Park.
In middle school in Menlo
Park? I don't think it's there anymore, though.
The tech kids all chilling
it was so Chili's. Different back then in the 90s. Like, it wasn't so just saturated with tech. Now it's just, it's
but you
everywhere.
Did. I remember you telling me one time that, like, you went to school with the founder of HP's kids.
Yeah, yeah, definitely. And remember Netscape?
I remember.
Yes, yeah. The CEO's son. I went to high school. He was like in theater, so he had like he directed a play I was in.
Wait, the founder CEO?
Sorry, no, his son.
Oh, okay, got it.
Yeah, I went to school with him, and there was that, but now it just seems like that is all there is.
Up there.
Yeah, correct. I mean, which is in this day and age, that's great for the area because that's how we live our lives now.
Right.
But it's just, it's changed so much. So no more Chili's.
No more Chili's.
No more Chili's. But
okay.
So yeah, tune in to Tip Your Server. I'm on Stitcher and iTunes.
Anywhere else they can find you?
Stitcher and iTunes, and then I'm just doing the Google Play this week. Okay. So I've been slow to get the Google Play.
Any restaurant that people can go say hi?
I am currently at Wexler's Deli in the Grand Central Market, which is an L.A. staple. It's kind of like L.A.'s Ferry Building for you San Francisco listeners up there. But, yeah, it's like a big food court downtown. It's kind of a tourist. But then
it
a lot
is
of locals.
The greatest place.
It's great.
If I was going to work in, like, the food industry again.
It's pretty fun.
That's where I'd be.
Yeah. It gets very hot in the summer.
Yeah.
There's no AC. Sure. So, but yeah, Wexler's Deli, it's great. The best pastrami in the city.
Love it. Yeah. Okay, cool. You heard it. You heard it here, folks.
Yep.
She is Natalie Gregory. Please check out Tip Your Server podcast.
Yes.
On iTunes. Subscribe, rate it.
Yes. Thank you. Thank you, Jeremy. This was fun.
No, this was more than fun.
This is great. Blast.
All right. This is a blast.
Ciao.
Blast off.
Blast off.